Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, it is well. I want to speak today on the subject of mother, is it well with thee? Mother, is it well with thee? The prophet is Elijah. This is a great chapter for mothers. It really shows the two extremes of motherhood. In the beginning of the chapter, in verses 8 through 17, we have the birth of a child to a mother who did not think she could have children. A miraculous birth. Through prayer and through the declaration of the prophet Elijah that at this time, this right season, you're going to have a son. And she couldn't believe it, but God gave her a son. And it was a wonderful time of rejoicing, and she was bringing up that child, love God, do right, I'm sure. And then when you get to the middle of this chapter, the boy dies. And we see the extreme opposite, the anguish of a mother. As something happened with his head. We don't know what happened, but he was out in the field with his dad one day, and he said, my head, my head. And the father said, carry the child to his mother. And as she was holding her boy on her lap, the boy died. Can't imagine such an experience. I know some of you mothers have been through the death of your child. I have no idea what you've gone through. All of my three have been lived and are healthy at this moment. You never know what a day may bring forth, though. And so the two extremes of motherhood are contained in this one chapter, and yet in the midst of it, she begins to seek for the Lord. She begins to seek God, and as they did in those days, she sought for God's man, who was Elijah, the prophet, and she's running to meet him. And the prophet Elijah has a servant named Gehazi, and he looks out and sees this woman running towards him or coming towards him and says, now that's the lady, the Shunammite lady, the rich lady who built the little chamber onto her house, her husband, so that whenever I'm passing by there I can stay in the house. And it looks like she's troubled about something. And he says to Gehazi here in verse 26, his servant, he says, run to her now, I pray thee, to meet her and say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, it is well. And when she said those three words, it is well, I don't know. I've tried to figure out things sometimes when I read the Bible. I don't know if she was lying. Her child was dead. That's why she was coming. And he says, is it well with the child? It's well. Maybe she just had faith that no matter what happened to her children, it's well with her children. If our children die and go to be with the Lord, it's well with them. If our children live and grow up and serve God, it's well with them. You know, God is God, and he's going to do whatever he wants. He's not going to ask you beforehand. It's one of the most difficult aspects about God that you and I have to come to grips with is that he's God, we're not. And he said in the Bible, cannot I do with my own what I will? It may have meant my child's with the Lord and he's all right. It may have meant that she came in such great faith, because back in 23 it says, and she said, it shall be well. After her child died. That's great faith right there. It shall be well. And she just believed that somehow this prophet of God, and God mostly working through the prophet, could do something for her child. And by the end of this chapter, we have a miraculous resurrection of a dead boy. There's a couple other stories of the resurrection of the dead in the Bible. Not many. I think there's about seven altogether, but this is one of them. Doesn't usually work this way. But you know, if our children are brought up and dedicated to God, and we try to win them to Christ, and even if they die before in an age of accountability, it's well with them. Another man, David, had a child die, 7 days old. And he prayed and fasted for 7 days that God would save the life of his sick boy. And God didn't. God took the boy to heaven. But David's faith was tremendous at that time. He said in 2 Samuel 12 and verse 23, when the child died, his boy, he began to worship God. He began to praise God. And went and cleaned himself up and went into the temple and worshiped God. And his behavior was contrary to what most people saw. Usually people go to pieces when their child dies. But David had such great faith, he said what? He said, I can't bring my child back to me. He said, I shall go to him, but he shall not return. David knew that his little 7-year-old boy was safe in the arms of God when he died, and that someday he would go to his boy, but that the child wouldn't return. Do you have such great faith, or have you perhaps agonized with some bitterness and anger and doubts and questioning about God and what he has maybe done with your children? David, the Shunammite woman, it is well with the child. If our children know God, no matter what happens to them, it's well with them. It's well with them. So the prophet asks her three questions, and I want to ask you moms these three questions today. I want to spend most of the time on the first question. In verse number 26, it says, number one, mothers, is it well with thee? Is it well with thee? How are you doing today, moms? Is it well with thee? This phrase here, is it well, in verse 26, actually comes from one Hebrew word, and that one Hebrew word is shalom. It can be said shalom, or it can be said shalom in the form of a question. If we saw somebody who was troubled and you were able to speak Hebrew and you said shalom, and you asked the question, you would be saying to them, is it well with thee? This word, is it well, this phrase, this Hebrew word is shalom, is very deep. It refers to peace. It refers to safety, health, prosperity, quiet, tranquility, soundness of mind and body. Mothers, is it well with thee? I'm talking about all around today, mothers and ladies that are here. And by the way, you that are not don't need this message, I did you a little diversion here if you don't want to listen to this message. On the back of your bulletin are 14 verses that use the word mother out of the book of Proverbs. If you're not a mother today and you want something else to do while I'm preaching, I want you to go and read those 14 verses, because it's amazing how much detail God has given in just the book of Proverbs of how you're supposed to treat your mother and how you're not supposed to treat your mother. And you'll find them in those 14 verses on the back of your bulletin today, and how you're supposed to treat mom and how you're not supposed to treat mom. And some of you need to let the scriptures, all you boys that are here, and I'm not saying you're bad boys, but I'm saying read those verses right now and evaluate yourself while I'm preaching. While I'm preaching, you evaluate yourself. I don't care if you're in your 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s. If your mom or your stepmom's still alive today, there's clear instructions in the book of Proverbs of how you're supposed to treat your mom and how you're not supposed to treat your mom, and it's on the back of your bulletin today. Anyway, back to the sermon. For the mothers, is it well with thee? Do you have complete soundness today of mind and soul? Is it well with thee, mothers, today spiritually? Is it well with thee, mothers, today emotionally? How about mentally or physically? Did you know that all of these needs can be met in one person, and that person is Jesus Christ? This wonderful book contains in it many stories of how Jesus made women well. Let's look at a few examples. Turn to Luke chapter number 8. Now we'll come back here to 2 Kings for the next question here in a little bit, but I want to spend most of the time here on point number one. Mothers, is it well with thee, then? Is it well with you? There were ladies in Jesus' day who were very, very troubled. Just like there's ladies today that are very troubled. These ladies were actually troubled by devils. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't believe demon possession ended back when the Lord left the earth. In fact, it's probably increased. I don't have any other explanation for some of the behavior of some women today than that they must be either out of their minds or filled with the devil. The behavior that they get into nowadays, I don't know how to explain it. The way they dress, some ladies nowadays, you know, that demon-possessed man, over in Mark chapter 4, when the devil got done with him, he was running around without his head, naked. I don't know any other explanation for some of the behavior and some of the dress we see in our country. The Bible says in the last days, this earth is going to become the cage of every foul bird and beast. It's just man's going to be turned into animals in the last days. And it's affecting women. One third of the women, adult women in the United States of America have the HPV virus inside of them right now. And you only get it one way, and I'm not going to get personal here. But there's something wrong with our country and the behavior of women in our country. And our Lord Jesus dealt with women like this, and he can help women like that. Look right here. I never noticed this till the other day when I was studying Luke 8 and verses 2 and 3. We've all heard of Mary Magdalene, but look what the Bible says specifically. It says, and certain women, W-O-M-E-N, that's plural, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chusa, Herod's servant, steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto Christ, unto him of their substance. I want you to notice that Jesus Christ helped many women that had been troubled by evil spirits. Not just Mary Magdalene. The Bible says she had seven evil spirits in her, but it says here very specifically, and certain women which had been healed of evil spirits, and then it lists a few of their names. See, I believe there's a lot of women today who are troubled spiritually and emotionally and mentally and even physically, and it has to do with the unseen world, the unseen powers of evil attacking women. I know enough women have been ruined by men. But there's also a spiritual warfare the Bible talks about. Now, I know we can stick our head in the sand and hope it doesn't exist, but we'd be better off prepared and studying our adversary and putting on the whole armor of God. But I believe we live in a country of troubled women today. I don't know what else can explain their behavior on television and the movies and in the music and the dress and so on and so forth. And I believe for every one of those ladies, there's help in Jesus Christ. There's help in deliverance in Christ. He wouldn't put this in the Bible if we couldn't take it out of the Bible and apply it to our days, because it says in Hebrews 13 and verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same Lord that helped women who were having these emotional, mental problems and spiritual battles, and delivered them and turned them into good women who were ministering women. He can do the same for any woman today. He can help. Is it well with thee today? Is it well with thee? Turn to Matthew 9. Mothers, is it well with thee? Ladies, is it well with thee today? How are you doing spiritually? How are you doing emotionally? How are you doing mentally? Boy, Brylin Hospital in Buffalo says that 4 out of 10 adult women in this area have major depressions, on the brink of nervous and mental breakdowns in our area. And I think women need Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, to come into their lives and help them. Maybe you need a physical touch today. It says here in Matthew chapter 9, verse 20, and behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. Now, why would she do that? It tells us her motive in verse 21. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. You see, if I can say this without sounding sacrilegious, I don't think enough women are taking advantage of Jesus Christ today. I don't think enough women are taking advantage. There's too many women on drugs. There's too many women who are secretly sipping alcohol or hiding in fantasy and romance from all their problems or seeking out counselors and psychiatrists and psychologists. And maybe there are a few occasions where that stuff might help, but let me tell you, Jesus is the great physician. And this lady said, if I can just get to Jesus, if I can just get to Jesus Christ, I don't think enough people are taking advantage of Christ in a proper sense. I don't think enough of you ladies are going to Christ with your problems. And perhaps there's some ladies here, and I'm not saying Jesus heals everybody. Sometimes physical infirmities can and adversities can bring us closer to God spiritually, and that's what's most important. And he can use that physical infirmity as a tool to teach us to pray and trust in him and realize how weak we are and how strong he is. And when I am weak, Paul said, then he is strong. I understand that. But I also believe that there's mothers and ladies going around with physical infirmities who could be healed who have not yet simply asked God to heal them. To heal them. She said, I just want to heal. I just want to touch his garment. She just had that faith. I don't know what put it in her heart. She said, if I could just get to him and just touch him. If I could just get to Jesus, he could help me. Look over at Matthew 14. In verse number 36. Well, let's look at verse 35. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all that country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched him were made perfectly whole. Now, where do you think they came up with that idea? Where do you think they came up with, see, we need some women today who are going to allow Jesus Christ to do miracles for them so that others will see and it'll bring them to Christ. We need women today who will be helped with their mental state, will be helped with their emotional state, will be helped with their spiritual state, will be helped with their physical state. And so that later others will say, well, if he did it for her, he could do it for me. And our children will grow up with the same faith. And the next generation will say, Christ help our women. And Christ can help us. Mothers, is it well with thee? How are you doing this morning? Turn to Luke chapter number 10. And there's other ladies whose troubles are all inside. They're not necessarily demonic oppression. They're not physical infirmities, but they're just troubled on the inside. And we have the story here of Martha. Notice she's careful, she's cumbered, and she's crowded. It says in Luke 10 and verse 38, it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. Now let's give Martha credit, because in Orientalism that was very important, whoever allowed somebody into their house. Martha wanted Jesus in her house. Give her that much credit. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said words that are almost blasphemous for a woman to say, Lord, dost thou not care? That's pretty close to blasphemy. He's not only our creator, he's our caregiver. He keeps us alive. He daily loads us with benefit. We exist today because of Jesus Christ. Every heartbeat, every breath, every blink of the eye. It's all in the scriptures. And for one of us humans to look at Christ and say, dost thou not care? We got to watch our attitudes, don't we? See, her problems are attitudinal. You got to watch it, ladies. Be careful. Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me alone to serve? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus said, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. See, what was the part Mary chose? It says in verse 39, she sat at the feet of Jesus and heard his word. You know how we do that today? Bible reading. Moms, are you reading the Bible? Are you meditating on it? Are you memorizing it? If you're a lady here today and you're careful and troubled about many things, encumbered about much service and complaining and getting a bad attitude and a bad spirit towards others around you, my question to you this morning would be this. When did you quit reading the Bible? When did you quit sitting at the feet of Jesus and hearing his word? See, this word cumbered here means to be distracted. She was cumbered about. She became distracted with housework. The word cumbered means to be driven about mentally, overoccupied, to be busy about a thing. And then she was not only cumbered, it says she was careful. Down in verse 41, the word careful is a reference to anxiety, a reference to worry. John Wesley said, I would no sooner worry or fret than curse. Careful. Are you filled with anxiety? And then it says she was crowded. Notice the word troubled here. This word troubled means disturbed. It is a word that is in reference to turbulence, as waters coming into a ship ready to drown it, the feeling of being drowned or overwhelmed by day life. And the Lord said, Martha, you know, I could help you with this. I can help you with this. See, Mary's got it figured out. She's got things to do too, but Mary hath chosen the good part, and that shall not be taken away from her. See, these stories we've read are about Jesus Christ helping ladies, helping mothers. Mother, is it well with thee this morning? Is it well with your mind? Is it well with your spirit, your attitude? Is it well with your soul? Are you saved? Is it well with your conscience? Are you doing the right thing so your conscience doesn't bother you? Is it well with your body? Are you taking those things to God in prayer and seeing what he'll do? Is it well with your relationship with God? You see, we can have peace if we'll pray. We can have peace if we'll read the word. Jesus said to Martha, you know, Mary sits at my feet and hears my word, and she's not going to pieces. You're the one, Martha, that's having trouble. We need to get in the word. You hear it all the time. We also need to get into prayer. Prayer will bring us peace. Ladies, are you praying? Moms, how's your prayer life? In Philippians 4 and verse 6, it says, be careful for nothing. Have anxiety about nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplications with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And what's the product? Philippians 4, 7, the next verse says, in the peace of God, that passes understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Prayer can help your mental state, your mind. Prayer can help your heart. Why go through life without God when we don't have to? He's there to help us. He's there to help you, moms. Joseph Scriven wrote, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything God in prayer. Do you know when he wrote that? He wrote that right after his entire family perished in a house fire. But he found that God is able to sustain us through the worst of times. Moms, there is a God in heaven that loves you. He cares about you. And the prophet asked this lady, is it well with thee? I ask you the question, is it well with thee? Mothers, is it well with thee? And then notice a couple other questions he posed to her, and I'll just be brief with these. He said, second of all, in 2 Kings 4 and verse 26, he says, is it well with your husband? Is it well with your husband? Now, that's a good question. Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband's? Moms, wives, how's your husband doing? The Bible says you are made to help him. You can help him. When God made Adam, there was no one to complement him, no one to complete him. And so he put Adam to sleep and he made a woman and he brought her to the man and he presided over the first wedding ceremony and he blessed them. And he said, I've got to make an help meet or fit for Adam. And he made Eve and brought her to the man. And God's original intent and purpose was to make her to help her husband. Marriage is a ministry. Marriage is a ministry. Please, if you're not going to look at marriage as a ministry, young people, don't get married. Marriage is a lady attaching herself to a man. I know it's a two-way street, but I'm speaking to ladies this morning. But it's a lady attaching herself to a man for the rest of her life and saying, I am going to minister to him till he dies. Is it well with your husband? In 1 Peter 3 and verses 1 through 4, it says, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. It's a lot of words, but what it means is don't preach to your husband. Don't nag him. But just live a good testimony in front of him. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be the outward adorning of plaiting the hair and wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Feminism has taken the husbands right out of the heart of wives. That's what it's done. Feminism has taken the husbands right out of the heart of wives today. Don't be a feminist. You're not going to answer to them or to their movement. You're going to answer to God someday. And I want to encourage you to keep your husband in your heart, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, that phrase right there, not corruptible, is translated into the word immortal in 1 Timothy 1:17. Let him be in your heart in an immortal way. Don't ever let it die. And then it says, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. That means a mild disposition, not angry or contentious, but being very gentle in spirit. I think there's been a good observation made that usually the spirit of the mother in a home sets the spirit for the whole home. There's an old saying, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. And it's amazing the power that ladies have to establish the spirit in a home. And the Bible says a lady who has a meek and quiet spirit is in the sight of God of great price. They say, I know this is hard. Everything that God says to men in the Bible is hard, too. In fact, it's flat out impossible. We need the help of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Ghost to help us be what God wants us to be, to do what God wants us to do, and go where God wants us to go. That's why we have His grace. And I know we might not be interested in this, but this instruction might be worthless to feminists, but but it is immortal to God, and it says it's in the sight of God of great price. God really, really, really values the wife who loves her husband and assists him in God's will for his life. Ladies, try to get your husband saved. If he is saved, try to encourage him to serve the Lord. Don't ever hold him back. Don't ever hinder him. You're a helper, not a hinderer. Don't ever speak a word of discouragement to him if God is leading him into some area of service. Let him go. Let him serve. You'll never regret that. On the judgment day, the Bible goes on to say we are heirs together of the grace of life in verse 7. I don't know how that works, but I believe at the judgment day, we're still not husband and wife. There's no marriage in eternity. But I believe they're rewarded equally if they're heirs together of the grace of life. Behind every good man's a great woman. That's what they say. Now, I know there's some single men that just do wonderfully for God. I understand that. But you can keep your husband from serving God, or you can help him and encourage him to serve God. Is it well with the child? Number 3. The last question, how are your kids? How are your kids today? I know some of you have broken hearts. The kids are wayward. Some may have children that aren't even saved. Is it well with the child? Mom, if you're not going to pray for your kids, who is? If you're not going to cry for them, who is? If you're not going to fast for them, who is? You got sons and daughters. If they're saved and serving God today, you ought to thank the Lord. You're so privileged. If you got a son today or a daughter that's a guilty distance from God and doesn't know the Lord as a Savior, has never been born again? Is it well with the child? Is it well with your children today? How is it? How are your children doing? Are you praying for them? You ought to pray for them every day. There's a verse in Proverbs 4 and verse 3 that says this, "For I was my father's son, listen, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother." Tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. Moms, are you still tender towards your children? Are they still your only beloved? Now don't put them in front of your husband or your God. No, no. But do you still feel for your kids? Do you still feel for your kids? How is it? Is it well? This lady said it is well. It's well with me. Well, with my husband, as well with the child. How is it for you? Today can be a new start for you. Maybe all this may say, Pastor, I'm here today and it's a mess. Everything you mentioned. I'm a mess. My marriage is a mess. My kids are a mess. That's one of the great things about God. He's a reconciler. He's a restorer. We believe in the redemption of not only people's souls, but lives can be restored and rebuilt. He's a rebuilder. Maybe today you needed this message just to say, I need God. That's the message today. You need God, moms. You need God, and He wants to help you. If I can say it correctly, He wants you to take advantage of Him. Let's pray.